For years, music critics have debated the origins of rock and roll. Some can see it in the stage presence of Louis Jordan, or hear it in the familiar guitar signature of Chuck Berry. Others point to the piano-pounding power of Little Richard or the hip-swiveling of Elvis Presley. Next Thursday, July 6th, marks the 75th birthday of one of rock's most unlikely heroes, a square-looking country singer from the suburbs of Philadelphia named Bill Haley, heard here in an interview with Red Robinson.
Well, the beginning for Bill Haley, let's really go back now, was 1946 to be exact. And I had been trying very hard, as most young fellows do, to get started in show business and doing amateur contests and what have you. And then on those days, Red, I was a yodeler, a Swiss yodeler. I used to be known as Silver Yodeling Bill. And,
In 1954, Bill Haley recorded a song that became a countdown to a new musical era. It's also one of the NPR 100. That's our list of the 100 most influential American music works of the 20th century. From member station WCPN, David C. Barnett reports.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, hon. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight.
William John Clifton Haley never fit the image of a rock star. In old film clips from the 1950s, the chubby-cheeked singer, dressed in a gray suit and tie, sways with an acoustic guitar in his hands and a big spit curl bouncing on his forehead. And behind him, a bunch of guys dressed just like him wail on their instruments, including a big upright string bass and an accordion. Looks aside, Bill Haley and the Comets created what was arguably the first recognizable fusion of rhythm and blues with country and western swing that became rock and roll. And guitarist Danny Cedrone played one of the earliest and most famous solos in rock history. The true author of Rock Around the Clock is still being disputed. The record label lists two names, pop lyricist Max Friedman and Jimmy DeKnight, the pseudonym of music publisher and promoter James Myers.
The melody was in my head for a long, long time, and I finally got it down on paper, playing the piano one finger at a time, and worked with the lyrics, but I wasn't satisfied with them. Anybody can put 1, 2, 3 o'clock rock, but they couldn't put all of the lyrics. So Max walked into my office one day and said, "That sounds good, Jim. Can I work with you on it?" I says, "How would you know? You're tone deaf." He says, "No, I hear it there, and he says, "I'd like to work with you if you let me." And I says, "Okay." So the two of us, over a period of time, none of us was in a hurry, involved with Rock Around the Clock.
Comets keyboardist John Grandy remembers it differently.
Max Friedman wrote the song.
Grandy thinks that the relationship between Myers and Friedman was similar to many others in the music industry.
Jimmy had the publishing company, and a lot of times a writer has songs and you have to give up a little bit if you want it published or you want it recorded. A&R men do the same thing. I mean, we have records out that has written by Bill Haley and Milt Gabler. Well, Milt Gabler never wrote songs, but he was the A&R man. So you have to give a little bit sometimes to get your songs recorded.
At the time, Bill Haley and the Comets were recording on the Essex label. Essex Records president Dave Miller refused to let them record Rock Around the Clock because of its association with Jim Myers. There was bad blood between the two men, and Miller stood firm against the song. Eager to get it before the public, Haley formed his own record company and released the first version of Rock Around the Clock, recorded by his friend Paschal Venditti, who went under the stage name of Sunny Day. The Sunny Day record sank like a rock in the marketplace, leaving Bill Haley to puzzle over what went wrong. He and the Comets incorporated the song into their live act and started playing with the rhythm and the pacing until it finally became a crowd favorite. In the meantime, Jim Myers got the group a recording contract with Decca Records, where they came under the wing of Milt Gabler, a successful artist and repertoire man who specialized in jazz and rhythm and blues groups. Gabler saw, in Bill Haley and the Comets, a band that could replace the jump blues stylings of Louis Jordan, who had just left Decca. Gabler struck a deal with Myers that he would record their version of Rock Around the Clock if the Comets would also record a Louis Jordan-style ditty called 13 Women.
Last night I was dreaming, dreamed about the H-bomb. Well, the bomber went off and the high was caught. I was the only man on the ground. There was a 13 women and only one man in town. 13 women.
By all accounts, the recording session was a nightmare. For starters, on the way to the studio, the band took a ferry across the Delaware River and got stuck on a sandbar, making them 2 hours late. They arrived tired and hungry at Decca's primary recording studio in New York. Keyboard player John Grandy adds that they were under severe time constraints.
They were giving us 3 hours to do two sides. And when we got there, Milt Gabler, the A&R man, he wanted us to do 13 Women. So, of course, that's what you do. It was a good song, but it took us about 2.5 hours to get an arrangement and get it recorded. So then after that, we had 30 minutes left, and he says, why don't you do that other song you guys were talking about, A Rock Around the Clock?
Bass player Marshall Lytle says that presented a problem for their session guitarist, Danny Cedrone, a lead player who had sat in with the Comets on a number of their Essex recordings, but was totally unfamiliar with Rock Around the Clock.
Danny, during the first few minutes of rehearsal, was groping for a solo that he could play on it. And I said to him, well, Danny, you played such a fantastic solo on Rock This Joint. And Rock This Joint didn't do very much. Why don't you just do that same solo on Rock Around the Clock and see if it fits?
Here's Cedrone's solo from Rock the Joint.
Rock this joint, we're gonna rock this joint tonight.
Now, here's the version he did for Rock Around the Clock. Judge for yourself.
When the chimes ring 5, 6, and 7.
In their rush to get the song recorded, the band drowned out Haley's vocals. So they tried it one more time with Haley singing against a basic rhythm track, and that was it. They were into overtime and had to end the session. Then the engineers pulled off something of a miracle. They mixed the best parts of both versions and came up with a hybrid master tape.
At that time, it was very difficult to splice. They had to time the song and make sure each one was the same amount of time, and them guys were so good. And they could do anything with it. And, of course, you were doing it on mono, so it was very difficult.
Milt Gabler's agenda was to promote 13 Women, and so that's what went on the A side, relegating Rock Around the Clock to side B. After its spring 1954 release, the record sold about 75,000 copies. Respectable, but not a hit. That wouldn't happen until a year later, when Rock Around the Clock became associated with the 1955 film Blackboard Jungle.
What'd you get there, Teach?
It was music.
Wasn't that music you just heard on that, Teach?
For the next class.
Oh, well, what's the matter with this class?
How's it this, Jockey?
Look at your records.
All right, just keep your hands off the records.
Beg your pardon?
Come on, Teach, swing it. Play something.
No, about Joshua's got a test for us. Right, Josh?
Based on a best-selling novel, music Blackboard is Jungle is the story of juvenile delinquents in an urban high school. Rock Around the Clock was heard under the film's opening credits. Director Richard Brooks chose the song because he felt it captured the wild, loud energy of young people. Some critics even say that this marked the beginning of rock and roll's long association with antisocial behavior. Within 2 months of the film's release, Rock Around the Clock sold more than 1 million copies.
When it's 8, 9, 10, 11, 2, I'll be going strong, and so will you. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight.
Bill Haley died in 1981. The surviving members of the Comets still tour the world. Bass player Marshall Lydell claims that they are the oldest living rock and roll band in existence. And he might be right. Since its release more than 40 years ago, Rock Around the Clock has sold over 25 million copies in over 30 languages. And it seems like this song about the perpetual clock will keep on ticking. For NPR News in Cleveland, I'm David C. Barnett.